Well, good morning, and welcome to Christ Reformed Baptist Church via live stream again. As you know, the coronavirus has scattered us. It's scattered, really, the church in every direction, and we are worshiping God in our homes today and in our families. But take encouragement. The Word of God is not bound, and neither is the spirit of unity that has bound us together as the body of Christ. And so we rejoice that even though we're not able to assemble, and I'm speaking in an empty church once again, but through the gift of technology, we are able to come together and study the Scriptures alongside one another in some sense. And that's our endeavor this morning, to encourage you as you worship in your homes with your families, and to open up God's Word and see what the Lord would have for us this morning. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. My goal is to give some thoughts on this passage. I'm not going to do an exposition this morning, but I do want to give a few thoughts and points from this passage in order to encourage discussion and worship in your own homes with your loved ones today, as we kind of go through this present trial and we are separated from one another as a body of Christ. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and what I want to look at is verses 3 through 7. Here, this is God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Amen. Well, may the God of all comfort be with us this morning and open His Word to our hearts. The 17th century Puritan Thomas Case once observed that we discover more of God in our afflictions than we do by many sermons. For the soul only hears of God's mercy in times of prosperity, but we taste God's mercy in times of affliction. From my own experience, this is exactly right, don't you think? Difficulty in life has a way of teaching us things about God and His mercy that perhaps never really resonated with us before. I think of Job here as kind of the preeminent example. He was a worshiper of God. He is called a righteous man, blameless, even before his affliction. But his difficulty, the trials, the affliction, taught him much more about God than he had ever known before. And for the Christian, affliction is the school in which we learn about God. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Well, it's hard not to come back to these things in light of our present circumstances. We've all been affected one way or the other by the coronavirus. Some have, of course, been affected more than others. But whether that's physically, whether it's financially, whether it's socially or vocationally, we've been affected. Our church has been affected. I certainly consider this an affliction. It's a great difficulty that we're not able to gather with the people of God and avail ourselves of the ordinary public means of grace on this Lord's Day. That we can't have that mutual encouragement of gathering with the body of Christ and the hope and the joy and the grace that that gives to us each and every week. But even still, you know, we can take hope and comfort in the fact that even in these afflictions, God is teaching us about himself. And God is teaching us about his holy ways. Last week, we saw from James chapter 1 that trials mature us. James says, count it all joy when you experience various trials, because perseverance, steadfastness, patience is being worked and accomplished in you. Trials have a way in which to equip and prepare us to be consistent in good works, even through difficult circumstances. Well, this week from 2 Corinthians 1, we see something similar. But I think we get kind of a slightly different angle, a slightly different perspective here, where comfort takes more of a center stage in our trials. And I think this is important. I think it's important because so often when we think about trials, we tend, don't we, to think, well, God's teaching us a lesson. We've heard it so many times. God's chastening us for our sin. He's clearing out areas of unbelief and idolatry in our hearts. He brings trials to mature our faith and to strengthen our resolve. And of course, these things are true. We considered that a little bit last week. But I think there can be an extreme with this. If this is the only perspective we take upon our sufferings, we can maybe look at God as some sort of, you know, harsh taskmaster. A stern disciplinarian, one who's just building us up so that we can be strong and we can tough it out when we need to. And brethren, I think in some respects, if we take solely that perspective, that's more of the world's idea of, you know, the school of hard knocks, where we're kind of fortified so that we're strong and we can endure. I think we find something far different in Scripture. God doesn't just bring affliction to make us super Christians. And he certainly doesn't bring affliction so as that we can become strong and can stand upon our own. Instead, what do we see in this passage about God's disposition towards us in times of affliction? We see that he's the Father of mercies. And that he's the God of all comfort. And he is the one who comforts us in all of our affliction. One reason why God brings affliction is so that we get to experience the immense blessing of his comfort. And us, through experiencing this comfort, then pour out that comfort on other believers as well. The same comfort with which we have been comforted with is now shared and given towards others. And that's what I want you to see today. That even with this present affliction, we learn and experience the God of all comfort. And we do so in order that we might share that comfort with others. So briefly, I want to consider two questions from this, kind of jumping off from this passage here. How do we experience God's comfort? What does that mean? And what's God's purpose behind that? So first, what does it mean that God comforts us in all of our affliction? How does God comfort us? Well, if you know your Bibles, you probably know that the Holy Spirit, according to many translations, is referred to as our comforter. John 14 is the preeminent chapter here. The Spirit is our helper, our advocate, our friend, our comforter, and that God comforts us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. But here, I think it's important that we know this comfort that Paul is talking about here, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, is not something that we ought to identify with, you know, warm and fuzzy feelings or inspiration or stoic contentment, as it's often understood. It's not even really, you know, a boost of strength to help you get through the day. That's not exactly what God's comfort is. Nor is it, you know, oftentimes nowadays you'll hear something like, this restaurant has comfort food. They specialize in comfort food. What do we mean by that? It's food that's not healthy, That's what comfort food is. It's not healthy, but it brings a temporary joy and a temporary escape from the realities of life. And so it's called comfort food. It's comforting to us. But that, too, is not what's being referred to here as God's comfort. It's not a temporary, shot of adrenaline or an escape from this world. This is something deeper. God's comfort is something deeper. It's something transformative. It's something that doesn't leave us the same as we were before. It's something that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Now, sure, there is an emotional aspect to the comfort in some sense. But what I want you to see today, what I want to argue, is that the Spirit of God comforts us using means. Using specific means. How does God comfort? Well, one way that God comforts us is through the promises of His Word. That's one way in which the God of all comfort comforts us, is through the promises of His Word. Martin Luther once said that he would never live in paradise without the Word, but that with the Word, he could live in hell itself. That's because in our affliction, God speaks to us through His Word. And the Spirit impresses His Word upon our hearts. And the precious promises of His Word are what bring great comfort to us. Well, you might say, okay, that certainly makes sense, but what does that have to do with affliction? Doesn't God's Word comfort us in every circumstance of life? Well, yeah, absolutely. That's true. But affliction has a way of perking up our ears and softening our hearts and pushing us back upon the Word as we look for help and we look for answers to what's going on. This is why instinctively we often run to the Psalms in times of trouble. Right? We look for comfort in the Psalms. As one Puritan said, the Word is never so sweet as when the world is most bitter. Through times of affliction, we reach out. We run to the Scriptures. And it comes to us afresh. And we are comforted by it. So, of course, what that means is in our present affliction, we ought to be filling ourselves with the Word of God. Especially because we can't gather and worship with the saints. Especially because during this quarantine, we're most likely, our pace of life has slowed down, things are different, and we don't have the cacophony of distractions that often drown out the Word in our hearts. We ought to seek and find comfort in the Word of our Savior and hearing His voice afresh. But another way that God comforts in affliction is through communion with Him in prayer. He comforts through the Word, but He also comforts through prayer. Prayer is a means of grace. It is a medicine for the soul. It's one way in which God comforts us. One of the great difficulties of suffering is that there's often an inherent loneliness to it. People don't know what we're going through. Nobody really knows, ultimately. That's why it's so important, so therapeutic to pour out our troubles to others, to tell them what we're going through, right? Even just telling them, not even receiving their advice, but just telling them what's going on is therapeutic, and it can help encourage and comfort our hearts. So in the same sense, affliction pushes us toward God in prayer. It gets us to talk to Him, to lay things out on the table, to tell Him what we feel, what we're experiencing, how difficult it is for us. In our family liturgy that I sent out to the church today, our scripture reading was Lamentations chapter 3. And there the prophet goes into great detail about how miserable he is, that God is like a bear that has attacked him, a lion lurking, ready to pounce, that God, is shooting arrows that pierce his very soul. He's describing to God just how miserable he is. You've made me eat gravel, he says. Not a very, heartwarming picture. But he's getting it all out on the table, and he's expressing himself to God. And before affliction, we tend to be self-sufficient.
We
tend to be, okay, I can handle this on my own, but the difficulty comes and it shatters these illusions of self-sufficiency and it makes us reach out for help. And so we cry out to Him in prayer. The Christian knows then God hears our prayers. And through prayer we have communion with Him, that we talk to Him and He hears us, and that He will answer in due time. We know that we're talking to someone, we're not talking to someone who doesn't really care about us. He loves us. Nor are we talking to someone who might care but doesn't really have the power to change anything. No, He loves us and is powerful enough to answer us when we pray. And so part of the comfort in affliction is how it increases and fuels our communion with Him in prayer. The third way that God comforts us in affliction is through His sustaining grace. I just said it a moment ago, affliction exposes our need for help. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough. We're not holy enough. We can't fix our circumstances. And oftentimes, during difficult seasons, we might wonder, is this the end? Am I going to make it? What's going to happen? Is the virus going to claim my life or the life of someone I love? Am I going to come to ruin financially? Am I going to lose everything that I've worked so hard and so long for? Am I going to be able to retire? Are things going to go back to normal? These joys that I experience in the presence of other people, will I ever really taste that again? Affliction exposes our weakness. Affliction reveals our utter inability to control our lives. As James speaks of in James chapter 4, you boast about tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this much money. It's all going to be well. And he says, you fool, you should have said, if the Lord wills. Affliction reminds us that God is sovereign and we are not. But what is it though? What does the Scripture say about our weakness? Is our weakness a bad thing? Is the exposing of our weakness a bad thing? And for the Christian, it's actually the opposite. 2 Corinthians 12:9, when I am weak, He is strong. Jesus says there, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Affliction has a way of emptying us of our own resources, but that beautifully puts on display the love and grace and power of God in our weakness. God lets us experience weakness so that we experience His strength. He lets us experience lack so that we then experience His supply. He lets us go through infirmity so that He can then come in and heal. And this brings great comfort to us when we're reassured that, you know what, things don't ultimately depend upon us. Even when the world falls apart according to our plans, He is strong and He is with us and His grace is sufficient. What a comfort and assurance that is, that God afflicts so that we experience His grace to meet our every need. But finally on this point, a fourth way that God comforts us is through other people. I said it just a moment ago, there's an inherent loneliness to suffering. And the more we isolate ourselves in times of suffering, the worse it is. That's why this present trial, I think, is particularly difficult. We can't even gather as a church. And if we've had a really bad week, and we're lonely, and we're isolated, we can't even gather and receive that encouragement and comfort of one another in the assembly of the church. God has given us other people as a blessing, as counsel, as encouragement, as comfort. And far more than just social benefit, it's the Spirit that binds us together as the body of Christ. It's the Spirit that, enables us to encourage one another. As Paul references in Romans chapter 1, he longs to see their face that he might impart to them some spiritual gift, the mutual encouragement of each other's faith. But here's the thing. As we keep reading here in 2 Corinthians 1, we see a connection between God's comfort for us, toward us, and then the believer's comfort towards one another. And that's where I want to transition into the second and concluding question that we'll ask here. There's some overlap. And that question is, as I phrased it a few moments ago, what is the purpose behind affliction? What is the purpose behind affliction and God's comfort in these verses? I spoke last week of how so often when we suffer, we tend to turn inward. That's kind of human nature. Not only do we tend, when we suffer, to kind of close ourselves off to others and retreat into our own little worlds, but we also tend to get caught up in questions like, what is God doing in my life? What is He trying to teach me? What is He preparing me for? Is there sin that He's chastening me for? What do I need to learn in all of this? What's His point in my life for all of this? This is also a way in which we turn inward. But here's what we see here. Part of God's purpose in our affliction is not just to reveal our own need of grace, but it's also to transform us into a tool of that same grace in the life of another sufferer. In other words, one of the primary purposes and lessons in our affliction is to soften us and to make us sensitive and aware to the sufferings of others. That's what Paul says here. God comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. A superficial example of something like this would be like a cancer support group, for example. You know, people who have had cancer and have defeated it often then spend their lives helping others go through what they once experienced. They know, because of their suffering through cancer, they know how miserable it is. They are aware and sensitive then when people are going through those same things, and it motivates them to want to help. You see, so often when things are going well in life, we're cold and callous to the sufferings of others. We're insensitive to them. We can't really identify with their suffering. Or worse, in our self-righteousness, we can say things like, oh, well, you know, they're kind of getting what they deserve. They kind of brought it on themselves, didn't they? Maybe they sinned, and this is why they're suffering. Maybe they made poor decisions, and this is why they're suffering. They weren't wise financially, right? They hung out with the wrong crowd. They made some poor decisions. Other times we might say, you know, why are they making such a big deal about this? It's not it. Okay, get over it already. But when we go through similar circumstances, things change, don't they? When we are the ones that are humbled, when we are the ones that are desperate, when we are the ones that are broken, when we are the ones that can't escape the cycle of suffering and difficulty and anxiety and fear and depression that all of that brings, well, then we come out with an entirely new perspective, don't we? In affliction, we learn that we need mercy. But we also learn not only that we need mercy, but we also learn our duty to give mercy as well. Affliction is how God softens our hearts. He kind of smooths out our rough edges so that we are ready and willing and able to extend compassion and comfort to those in need. And we are able to give away in spades the comfort which we have received from God in our own sufferings. This seems a beautiful cycle. On one hand, God comforts us through the comfort of other people. But on the other hand, in order to equip people with the tools needed to comfort, He leads them through suffering as well. God both comforts us through other believers, and His intention is that experiencing that comfort, we will then be a comfort to other believers too. Well, putting this all together and trying to relate it to our present circumstances, I hope you've seen a common theme here that I've tried to draw out. This common theme in God's comfort of us and also God's purpose for our suffering, this common theme is these things call us to have an outward perspective rather than an inward perspective. He comforts us with His Word. Not from the thoughts and schemes and wisdom that arise in our own hearts, but that objective, supernatural, external Word that comes to us from the outside. He comforts us through communion in prayer. Prayer, that plea for help from the outside. The opposite of self-sufficiency. Not looking within, but looking without. He comforts us through sustaining grace. We are weak, so we look out to Him where He is strong. He comforts us through other believers and their input and their counsel and their encouragement in our lives. All of this comes to us from the outside. And even the goal and purpose of it all is to turn us outward as well so that we give away to others what we have received, the comfort from God. This is calling us in affliction to something that's not natural to us, to have an outward perspective. Don't you see then how God's comfort is far more than just therapeutic feelings? It's far more than just getting caught up in what is God doing in my life. Think about maybe, just maybe, your present trials and difficulty right now don't have anything to do with you per se. But they're simply about God preparing and equipping you to change someone else's life. Maybe, just maybe, if we adopt an outward perspective on our difficulties. But of course, in all of this, how can we not run to the preeminent example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If this is true of us, it's true of Him as well, or vice versa. Paul even says that in verse 5, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. There's a union with Christ in His sufferings. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. But think about His life. We learn in the book of Hebrews that though He was the eternal Son of God, He came and He dwelt in human flesh. He was tempted as we are tempted. He suffered as we suffered so that He might be a faithful and merciful high priest, so that He might be able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Even Jesus Christ in His earthly life was comforted by God that He might be equipped and enabled to comfort us as well as our high priest. And what's true of Him is true of us. Let us then look to Christ. Let us then look outward. Let us then look during this present difficulty to see how the gospel prepares us to love our neighbor. We seek comfort from God, and on the basis of that, receiving that comfort, we look out to share that comfort with other people as well. So let us not hide our eyes or close our hearts to suffering those around us, those going through difficulties. Let us look up. Let us look out. Let us see who has God brought into our life. Who has God brought into our life so that we might comfort them with the comfort that we receive in the gospel? That's something that we ought to be considering and praying and looking for during this present difficulty. Maybe, just maybe, God has raised us up for such a time as this. This is the beauty of gospel and law, of indicative and imperative. We receive from God the blessings of the gospel, and then we model that gospel in how we treat and love one another. I believe this is what this passage is calling us to in this time. Well, as Paul concludes in verse 6 and 7, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. What a perspective on suffering. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. What an outward perspective. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Brethren, may God give us grace to adopt this same perspective as well, for the glory of God and for the good of our neighbor. Amen. Let's pray. Our God, we do pray that you would comfort us in our present difficulty, and that you would turn our eyes upward and outward, and that we might model this grace and mercy to those around us. Help us to love our neighbor. Help us to bring glory to you. Help us to patiently endure this difficulty, trusting you, waiting upon you, looking to you. Oh, Father, we don't have the power in and of ourselves to bring these things about. So we plead for your power, for your mercy, for your work in our hearts. Be with the people of Christ Reformed Baptist Church as we are scattered all around. Be with us and strengthen us and encourage our hearts, Lord, with these words, that we may bring glory to you, even, Lord, during this time of difficulty. Do this for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.